live, on air, online, and on the Highland Radio app. This is Highland Radio News.
Good afternoon. It's 5 o'clock. Donald Kavanagh at the Highland Radio News Desk. It's emerged that the HSE plans to make cuts in the areas of disabilities, older persons and acute hospitals in order to break even. The Donegal GRA spokesperson claims money allocated for the force's transport budget will be used to cover part of the security costs associated with the Donald Trump visit to Ireland. Meanwhile, the AGSI executive member says a potential loss of divisional status could further dilute policing in Donegal. A security alert is ongoing in the Innisfree Gardens area of Strabane, and Gardaí have teamed up with the PSNI in an operation aimed at tackling fish poaching in the vicinity of Strabane. And later in the bulletin, at around 5:15 or so, we will have the sports news with Kenny Harkin. Good evening. Although stories to follow, but first, the finance minister says a no-deal Brexit would fundamentally change how Ireland trades with the UK. Pascal Donoghue has been meeting with British Chancellor Sajid Javid in London this afternoon. Much of the discussion was spent talking about how to avoid a hard border, with both ministers restating their positions on the backstop. Pascal Donoghue said a no-deal Brexit would have a significant impact on trade between Ireland and the UK.
If the United Kingdom became a third country, it would have a fundamental effect on the nature of the economic relationship between the United Kingdom and Ireland. Because obviously they would be outside of the single market, they would be outside the customs union, and they would be treated like other countries that are outside of the European Union from a trading point of view.
It's emerged that the HSE plans to make cuts in the areas of disabilities, older persons and acute hospitals in order to break even in 2019. Documents received through a Freedom of Information request by Sinn Féin revealed that the government plans to control spending by making cuts to essential services to control health spending and staffing levels in response to recent overruns. Deputy Pearse Doherty claims monthly reports outlining what the saving measures are weren't released under the FOI request. He's now calling on the government to release those documents immediately.
What we've demanded from them is that they release all of the documents that they've refused to give us under the Freedom of Information. These documents will tell clearly the cuts that they are going to inflict on the people of Donegal and elsewhere over the next number of months. And I think the people have a right to know, because at the end of the day, it is our taxpayers' money that is going into service these. And the government need to come clean as to what they're planning in terms of, does this mean more cuts to home help? Does this mean additional cuts to disability services? What does it mean for our Letterkenny General Hospital?
The Donegal GRA spokesperson claims money allocated for the force's transport budget will be used to part cover security costs associated with President Donald Trump's visit to Ireland. Brendan O'Connor says as a result, funding for extra Garda vehicles is being redirected, meaning people in Donegal will have to accept a reduced Garda service.
My most recent interaction with senior management in the county indicated that there are currently 6 vehicles that were taken out of service and not replaced, and a further 7 are close to reaching end of life. And we've been told there are no cars, but there certainly is a severe shortage, and apparently the money that was allocated for the transport budget in 2019 is going to be used to cover the shortfall, to cover the security of the Donald Trump visit. So we have the absolute ludicrous situation where the people in Donegal will have a reduced Garda service, possibly because a VIP chose to stay on a non-state visit in County Clare. That's the reality of how finance and budgets are being managed in Garda Síochána. We think it's a very unhealthy way to manage our business, and at the end of the day, the people who are suffering are the people who aren't getting a service, and our members who are frustrated they can't deliver a service that they want to deliver to the people of Donegal.
And that was Brendan O'Connor. Meanwhile, the Donegal AGSI executive member, Sergeant Paul Wallace, says the potential loss of divisional status could further dilute policing in County Donegal.
But the diluted much more will not be there at all, you know, because I know sitting at the executive table in Dublin, Donegal is not on anybody's radar or agenda at all. We lost Glenties District, which was a retrograde step. Too big of an area, the whole western seaboard of Donegal and the islands to be covered from Milford. Doesn't make sense. Now they're talking about possibly us coming in under. Nobody really knows this exactly what way it'll manifest itself, but coming in under Sligo Leitrim and all that. So that would mean that you would lose the divisional officer or the chief superintendent in Donegal. And that has massive ramifications for service delivery. But the big thing is getting the resources. If you don't have a chief superintendent batting for your area, it's very, very concerning. At the end of the day, transport has always been an issue in the Guards. It's always been an issue. Then they closed the stations. They promised extra resources and transport. There was a bit of a flush, all right, but them cars now are all worn out. You know, they're reaching the end of their time.
And there was Sergeant Paul Wallace. A security alert is ongoing in Strabane. A suspect device was discovered this morning in the area of Innisfree Gardens. Up to 30 homes were evacuated with a police cordon erected around the area. West Tyrone MLA Daniel McCrossan has condemned the actions of those responsible.
This was an early morning alert today and something that came as a huge shock to the wider community and especially to the young woman that has been affected as a consequence of this. This device was left in her garden and has absolutely sent shockwaves throughout the entire area and a lot of anger and frustration as to why someone would actually go out of the way to leave a suspect device in the garden of anybody, putting the entire community at risk, causing huge amounts of inconvenience and stress, and also having a direct impact on the many elderly and vulnerable residents that live in this very built-up residential area. This is an area that is very peaceful. It's a good, tight-knit community. And today, people are united in their condemnation of this absolute disgraceful, shameful and cowardly act by someone roaming around causing this sort of disruption to the community.
And it was MLA Daniel McCrossan. Lough Swilly Lifeboat launched this morning after an emergency position indicating radio beacon was activated on Mulroy Bay. Lough Swilly Lifeboat and the Mulroy Coast Guard and Rescue 118 helicopter were tasked to the scene at around 20:20. On arrival, it emerged the device, one of which is fitted to all commercial boats, had become dislodged from a vessel. The operation was then stood down. Joe Joyce is press officer with Lough Swilly Lifeboat. He says while in this case there was no emergency, it was a very busy weekend for the service.
At 28 this morning there, the Marine Rescue Centre there based at Malin Head tasked us to conduct a search in the Mulroy Bay area in conjunction with the Mulroy Coast Guard and Rescue 118 out of Sligo.
And indeed, this is a device which is placed now in all commercial boats and it is effectively life-saving in some instances.
Yeah, the device is called a knee perb when it falls into water, it sends a beam up to a satellite, which then contacts the Coast Guard. And then in instances like that, they generally throw everything at it. So all the emergency services generally respond to those. And we have direction finding equipment on the boat that we can home in on those signals. So this morning there was teams from the Mulroy Coast Guard, ourselves, and the search and rescue helicopter at Sligo, their Rescue 118. So thankfully we found a device and on this occasion it had just fallen off a boat. But Dan, everybody was well.
But indeed, however, you've had a very busy weekend over the bank holiday.
Yeah, it has been a busy weekend for us. This will be our seventh launch over the weekend there. We had we assisted two boats there towing them in. We had two jet skis that needed assistance. We assisted another person on the beach and then there was an unidentified object spotted in the water, and we went out to have a look at that. People thought initially it was a net, but it was a large clump of seaweed. So yeah, it's been a busy weekend for us.
And that was Joe Joyce there speaking to Michaela Clark. Gardaí have teamed up with the PSNI in an operation aimed at tackling fish poaching in Strabane and its environs. Gardaí and the PSNI say the net is closing in on fish poachers. They're hoping the operation will highlight the importance of protecting fish stocks. With more detail, here's Caroline Orr.
In a statement this afternoon, Gardaí and the PSNI say they've teamed up with the Loss Agency and others, moving the anti-poaching initiative Operation Silverfin to Strabane. The initiative originally launched in Toome a few months ago, and now the PSNI say it is noted that there are concerns in the northwest. The operation focuses on encouraging the public to report suspected fish poaching to the appropriate agency, enforcing fishing regulations and increasing awareness of the legislation surrounding fishing and the importance of protecting fish stocks. Gardaí are backing Operation Silverfin, saying the development of cordial working relations and partnership is fundamental to the success of this and similar initiatives. The Loss Agency says fishery officers work tirelessly patrolling the rivers, lochs and coastlines of our catchments for illegal fishing activity. We encourage anyone who suspects illegal fishing in the Foyle or Carlingford catchments to report it.
Midlands North West MEP Luke Ming Flanagan has lent his support to farmers as the beef plan protest enters its second week. Farmers in Donegal have joined with hundreds nationally protesting outside meat processing facilities, campaigning for a better price for their animals. Farmers took to the picket line outside Foyle Meats in Carrigans yesterday afternoon. They say they'll maintain a 24-hour presence until a resolution is found. Luke Ming Flanagan is calling on Minister Michael Creed to intervene. He says there needs to be an urgent review to ensure that the primary producer is protected.
It's time that he intervened, and it's time that tougher regulations were brought in on competition and to make sure that a fairer share goes to the primary producer. And I'll say it again, and I never lived on a farm in my life. My parents didn't live on a farm, but my father was a carpenter. And I always remember a discussion at home as to, well, why are the farmers getting these subsidies and why are they getting this money? And my father said to my mother, where do you think the farmers get the money to pay me to put in new windows, to put in doors, to put in fitted cupboards? And the answer to that was from the market and from the subsidies, and that money ended up going around to everyone in our community. My father spent it in the local shop. My mother spent it in the local hairdresser. And if we see a situation where these beef farmers go out of business, everyone goes out of business, not just the beef farmers, because at the end of the day, that's what our local economy is based on. We may have some factories from abroad in some places, an odd one here or there. Hopefully they'll be here in the long term. But there's one thing for sure, that land will be outside our door in the future. We need to make maximum use of it, and we need to use it to drive the local economy. If we let these people down and we don't go out and back them and support them, we will all pay the price at the end of the day.
And that was Luke Ming Flanagan, MEP. Workers at the crisis-hit Harland and Wolff shipyard in Belfast have been meeting with administrators to discuss the next steps in the company's future. Accountancy firm BDO, which was appointed as administrator, has filed for insolvency at the High Court in Belfast. The legal process is expected to be completed by this evening, putting 125 jobs at the iconic site at risk. Despite recent developments, steelworker and union representative Barry Reid says spirits are still high among workers who are still occupying the yard.
The administrators are coming in to speak to the men about the redundancy and tell them what they're entitled to, and we'll be offering them their package. Because it's government redundancy, we've gone into administration, they will then have to claim it off the government.
Gardaí and Donegal are appealing for information following a number of break-ins and thefts over the weekend. On Sunday last, a property was broken into in the Glencar Manor area while the occupants were taking part in an annual community clean-up. On the same day, in the Coal Hill area of Newton Cunningham, a number of people broke into a house. Two people were subsequently arrested. Gardaí are still searching for two others they believe to have been involved. Gardaí Niall Maguire is urging anyone with information on any of the incidents to come forward.
This happened in Glencar Manor on the 4th of August. As I say, there was a lot of people about, but it's horrific to think that these people nipped out to do something good for the community and they come back and they're at a loss, and not just the value of the items, but also, I suppose, the fact that their home has been intruded on and they also have a broken window. So this happened between 3 and 5:30 p.m. on the 4th of August. What was taken were three phones, and one of them was a Samsung Galaxy S6, the other was a Samsung Galaxy S5, and the last one was a black Huawei phone. If anybody has any information or can help us in any way, they could maybe contact Garda Porrick McFadden in Letterkenny. This one happened not in the Coal Hill estate, but in the townland of Coal Hill. The two-story house was entered. It's down as a burglary, but it's more of a trespass incident. And this happened around 4 a.m. and the neighbour's dogs were barking, and he went to investigate, and he saw that there was people upstairs in this two-story house intruding. He called the guards, and thankfully there was an operation quite close. So there was quite a few guards in the area, along with the armed response guards. The armed response did attend immediately. They were there within a minute or two, and they made two arrests after a short pursuit. However, there's two others that are outstanding. They're aged in their late teens or early 20s. They jumped from the first floor window of the building and made good their escape. So two arrested and charged, and we're looking for two more. And the investigating guard there is Garda Frank McDade in Letterkenny again.
And it was Garda Niall McGuire with that appeal for information. Just to update you on an earlier story, I can tell you that in Tyrone, the security alert in the Innisfree Gardens area in Strabane has ended. A suspicious object has been fully examined and declared a hoax. Residents have returned to their homes. Police have thanked people for their patience. They're urging anyone who notices any suspicious activity to make contact with them.
Sport on Highland, brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure, with the latest arrivals of men's, women's and kids' clothing from leading sports labels like Nike, Adidas and Under Armour.
It's 5:15 and we say good evening to Kenny Harkin.
Thanks, Donal. Good evening. We'll start with some boxing news. Kerry Irving of Illy's Golden Gloves is guaranteed a bronze medal at the European Schoolgirls and Schoolboys Championships, which are taking place in Tbilisi. Irving defeated Turkey's Pinar Özkan of Turkey 4-1 in their 46-kilogram quarter-final bout earlier today. Next up for her will be a semi-final bout on Friday evening, where she'll face either Madison Clarkson of Scotland or England's Jessica Keaton. They box this evening. And Ballyshannon native Thomas Ward, who boxes out of Carrickmore in Tyrone, is in quarter-final action also later on. He's up against a Belarusian Yakor Prudnin. And elsewhere in boxing, a freak accident has forced Belfast boxer Carl Frampton to pull out of a scheduled bout against Emmanuel Dominguez. Frampton's revealed that a large ornament fell on his left hand in a hotel lobby, fracturing his fifth metatarsal. And the 32-year-old says he's absolutely devastated to be unable to fight this weekend. And Joe Ward, he'll make his professional debut in October. The fight will take place in either Boston or New York after it was confirmed today that it'll be promoted by Lou DiBella and Ken Casey of the band The Dropkick Murphys. Ward will fight at light heavyweight as he did as an amateur. Moving on to cycling, and local rider Mitchell McLaughlin has signed a continental team contract for next year. The Drumkeen native will be leaving Four Masters to join Zappi Racing, moving to a team house in Kelpie in Spain in January. The team will be racing in the best UCI events in Europe, taking on Belgium, Italy, France and Portugal. Zappi will have a team in the under 23 Giro d'Italia, a race that McLaughlin hopes to be a team member of. In Gaelic Games, the Kildare County Board says there's no decision yet on the appointment of their next senior football manager. Three-time All-Ireland winning boss Kerry's Jack O'Connor has been heavily linked with the position vacated last month by Cian O'Neill. O'Connor's sons Cian and Ina both currently play for Muirfield. And Kerry's David Clifford is set to face, will be fit to face Tyrone on Sunday's All-Ireland senior football semi-final at Croke Park. The star forward missed the Kingdom Super 8 won at Meath last weekend with a back injury, but manager Peter Keane says he's ready to return to the team. But Keane says James O'Donoghue is a doubt for the clash with the Red Hands. And in ladies football, the Tipperary Ladies Football Association have asked the Camogie Association and the Ladies Football Association to work together ahead of a fixture clash on Saturday week. As things stand, top dual player Orla O'Dwyer must choose between lining out for the Premier's Camogie team in their All-Ireland Senior Semi-Final against Kilkenny or playing for their ladies football team in an All-Ireland Intermediate Last Four clash with Sligo. Tipperary say they're willing to change their fixture with Sligo in order to allow O'Dwyer to play in both games. Moving on to rugby, and Andy Farrell will be in charge of the Irish side for Saturday's World Cup warm-up game with Italy. Joe Smith has left for New Zealand due to a family bereavement. Ireland scrum coach Greg Feek expects Schmidt to return later this week.
Joe's had things in place and obviously includes everyone, the management, particularly the coaches and what's going on. The players know their roles, so it's been quite seamless in that sense. And we all know Joe is on the computer and keeping an eye on things as well. So, you know, like that's the environment we're in. We have to kind of keep going and prepare for a really important test match this week. So, yeah, Andy's taking the reins and is doing quite a good job, to be fair to him.
Moving on to soccer, and Dundalk, they make the trip to Slovakia today ahead of the Europa League third qualifying round first leg tie with Slovan Bratislava tomorrow. If they manage to negotiate that tie, they'll meet the losers of the Champions League match involving Ajax and PAOK Salonika. They go head to head tonight. Elsewhere tonight, Linfield, they're in Europa League action. They're in Montenegro to face Sutjeska in the third qualifying round first leg. In other news, Republic of Ireland international Harry Arter has joined the English Football League Championship side Fulham on loan for the new season. The midfielder, who has 15 caps and has played Premier League football for the last four seasons with spells at Bournemouth and Cardiff City. And Derby County, they've confirmed that Wayne Rooney will join them as a player coach in January. The former Manchester United captain will end his spell with DC United to take his first steps in coaching. Rooney has signed an 18-month contract with the Championship side where he'll work under new manager Philip Cocu. And Laurent Koscielny, he's leaving Arsenal to join Bordeaux. The Premier League club have agreed a €5 million fee with the French side for the defender who refused to take part in Arsenal's pre-season. He made 353 appearances for Arsenal across 9 years. And finally, for this evening, Liverpool's Harry Wilson's to join Bournemouth on loan for the season. There's no option to buy the Wales international, and the 22-year-old is set for a medical at the Vitality. Well, that's all your sport for this evening. The next sport here in Highland will be after the 8 o'clock news tomorrow morning. For the moment, it's back to Donal.
Thank you, Kenny. Penalties for patients who don't show up for appointments won't solve the problem. That's according to a leading patient advocacy group after it emerged that almost 500,000 appointments were missed last year. With more, here's Casey Reardon.
Figures released by the HSE to the Irish Daily Mail reveal that 12% of the 3.8 million outpatient appointments scheduled in 2018 went to waste. Mayo University Hospital had the highest rate of no-shows, with almost 20% of their appointments missed, while University Maternity Hospital Limerick had the least at just under 7%. Mervyn Taylor from Sage Advocacy says hospitals need to look at ways to reduce the number of no-shows.
A lot could be learned by comparing the performance of differing hospitals and regions.
Sage Advocacy says reminder text messages aren't being used by all hospitals, and this is adding to the problem. Mervyn Taylor also believes patients are missing appointments because they find hospitals too daunting.
And many could benefit by more user-friendly guide and support services within the hospital, and volunteers could play a useful role in this area.
The patient advocacy group says digitalising the way appointments are managed and addressing the consultant shortage must be the focus of any action to reduce the number of wasted appointments.
And proposals to transfer the ownership of Derry's historic walls to Derry City and Strabane District Council have been met with opposition. The walls are owned by the Honourable Irish Society, which built them between 1613 and 1618. The walls were then placed into formal guardianship in 1955. The Department of Communities is currently responsible for the management and conservation of the walls. Ulster Unionist Councillor Darren Guy has voiced his opposition to the council taking over. He says the cost implications would not be financially viable.
I was at a meeting with Alicia McCallion as well as Gary Middleton and Mark H. Durkin and Councillor Rachel Ferguson of the Alliance, and it was basically just a meeting. Alicia had this idea of the council taking ownership of the walls. No one agreed to anything at the meeting. We would be totally against it. I'm quite happy in the way that the ownership goes at the minute. One thing I would say is it has to be made easier for groups to access the walls if they would want to run events on them. At the minute, it's like a minefield trying to actually find out who to contact. But as of complete ownership being handed over to the council, there's no need. The cost implications would be far too much anyway. And we're already working on a tight budget.
And as you say, the cost implications that the council then would have to undertake would be vast. So you believe that this could be better redirected towards running events on the walls?
Definitely. I do think that the way the walls are managed at the minute is fine. There's no cost to the council. And I do believe that that's the best way.
Ulsterunionist Councillor Darren Guy of Derry City and Strabane District Council there talking to Michaela Clark. Well, the forecast, a mix of cloudy patches and showers with some brighter spells. Some heavy and thundery downpours also early this evening in moderate west to southwest breezes. The showers will become more isolated and less intense as the evening goes on into tonight. Minimum temperatures of 11 to 13 degrees Celsius overnight. Tomorrow, another showery day. Showers heavy at times, but some good sunny spells as well. Maximum temperatures on Wednesday of 17 to 20 degrees Celsius with a light to moderate west to northwest breeze. And that's Highland Radio News for now. Main stories in brief. And the finance minister says a no-deal Brexit would fundamentally change how Ireland trades with the UK. Pascal Donoghue was speaking after a meeting with the British Chancellor in London this afternoon. It's emerged the HSE is planning to make cuts in the areas of disabilities, older persons and acute hospitals in order to break even. Sinn Féin received some information through a Freedom of Information request. Its spokesperson, Donegal Deputy Pearse Doherty, says they now need more detail, which up to now has been denied to them. The Donegal GRA spokesperson claims money allocated for the force transport budget will be used to part cover security costs associated with US President Donald Trump's visit to Ireland, and a security operation in Strabane has ended. The device which was examined in Innisfree Gardens was declared a hoax. Back with headlines at 6 o'clock. Until then, good evening. The obituary notices for this Tuesday evening, the 6th of August. The death has taken place of Bridget Doherty, Creevy, Carrigart. Her remains are reposing at her late residence. Funeral from there on Friday morning to the Church of St John the Baptist, Carrigart, for Requiem Mass at 11 o'clock, followed by interment in the adjoining cemetery. House strictly private, please, at the request of the deceased. The death has taken place of Vincent Boyle, number 3, Greenfield Convoy. His remains will repose at his residence from 6 o'clock this evening. Funeral from there on Thursday morning at 10:30 for Mass in St Mary's Church Convoy at 11 o'clock, with burial afterwards in the family plot at St Mary's Old Cemetery Convoy. Family time, please, from 11 p.m. to 11 a.m. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu if desired to Medical 4, Letterkenny University Hospital, care of any family member, or Gibson Funeral Directors Convoy. The death has occurred of Lorna Larkin, Creve Smith, Letterkenny. Lorna's remains will repose at her home in Creve Smith from 7 o'clock this evening. Funeral from there on Thursday morning to St Enan's Cathedral for Requiem Mass at 10 o'clock, followed by cremation in Lakeland's Crematorium, Cavan, at 2:30. Family time, please, on the morning of the funeral. The death has occurred of Ellen Sherard, name at Klosky, 628 Barnault Road, Clody, County Derry. Ellen will repose at her late residence until funeral at 10:30 to St Patrick's Church, Clody, County Derry, for Requiem Mass at 11 o'clock tomorrow morning, followed by interment in the adjoining cemetery. The death has taken place of Frank Duffy, Francis, late of Carol Hugh, Greencastle. His remains are reposing at Collins Funeral Premises, Cooldaff, with visiting tomorrow from 3 p.m. to 9 p.m. Removal from there on Thursday morning at 10 o'clock for 11 o'clock Requiem Mass in St Columba's Church, Drung, followed by cremation at Lakeland's Crematorium, arriving at 6 p.m. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu if desired to the Donegal Hospice, care of Liam Collins, Funeral Director, or any family member. The death has occurred of Maggie Ford, 186 Barons Court Road, Drumquin. Maggie's remains are reposing at her late home. Funeral from there on Thursday afternoon at 1:20 for service at 2 o'clock in St Patrick's Church, Langfield, Drumquin. Interment afterwards in the adjoining churchyard. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu if desired to Marie Curie Cancer Care, care of Charles Lynch, Funeral Director, or any family member. Family time, please, from 11 p.m. to 11 a.m. and on the day of the funeral. The death has occurred of Fergus C. Murray, Kilmessan, County Meath, and Ardra, County Donegal, formerly of Ardsalla and Moatlands, Navan, County Meath. His remains will repose at St Joseph's Chapel of Rest, Old Johnstown, Navan, tomorrow afternoon from 4:30, with removal at 6:45, arriving at the Church of the Nativity of the Blessed Virgin Mary, Kilmessan, for 7:30. Funeral Mass on Thursday at 12 noon, with burial afterwards in the adjoining cemetery.
The house is private, please. The death has occurred of Leo Malloy, 11, Derg Fold, Castle Derg, formerly of Lissanina, Colooney, County Sligo. Leo's remains will repose at Lynch's funeral home, 50 Castle Finn Road, Castle Derg, from 5 o'clock to 9 o'clock this evening. Cremation at Lakelands Crematorium, County Cavan, tomorrow afternoon at 3 o'clock. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu if desired to Irish Injured Jockeys Fund, care of Charles Lynch Funeral Director. The death has occurred of Sarah McPeak, 46 Woodside Road, Killeater. Sarah's remains are reposing at her late home. Funeral from there tomorrow afternoon at 20 past 1 for Requiem Mass at 2 o'clock in St Patrick's Church, Ahearn. Interment afterwards in the adjoining churchyard. The house is private, please, at the request of the deceased. The death has occurred of Daniel O'Kane, Doon, Termon. His remains are reposing at his late home. Funeral Mass in St Columba's Church, Termon, at 11 o'clock tomorrow morning. Burial afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. Family time, please, from 11 p.m. to 11 a.m. The death has occurred of John McHugh, 16A Lurganboy Road, Castle Derg. His remains are reposing at his late residence. Funeral from there tomorrow morning at 10:30 for Requiem Mass at 11 o'clock in St Patrick's Church, Castle Derg. Interment afterwards in the adjoining churchyard. Family time, please, from 10 o'clock tonight and before the funeral tomorrow morning. And the death has occurred of Mary Carr, Derry Druill. Her remains are reposing at her late residence. Funeral Mass tomorrow morning at 11 in St Cronus Church, Dunloe, with interment afterwards in the local cemetery. Rosary at 9 o'clock. Family time, please, from after the rosary.